How many of you believe God will test you? I want to read some scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Start with verse 1. And I want you to see some of the tests that God had brought upon the other people. And he said these things were for us. And most of us don't pass our tests very well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In the King James, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's what it says. But in the NLT, it says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the sea and on dry ground. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea. If you could see this cloud every day, that's over you to protect you from the hot sun. Some of you, if you had to work outside like I did the last couple of weeks, there was no clouds to protect you. I mean, I'm outside in 113 degree weather, and it's blistering. In fact, Kathy walked out for a little while to go to her car to get something, and she come back in and she said, my goodness, it's so hot out there, I can't stand it. And then she said, I thought, Pastor is out working in that all day long, every day. How does he do that? Yeah, by faith, that's how I do it. By faith, because it was hot. I'll tell you what, after the last few weeks, working outside, pouring concrete, you know, all them nice things, you know, that we poured 34 yards of concrete a couple of days, you know, so, but after you do a few of those little things, boy, if there was ever a doubt that you don't want to go to hell, you know, it is hot enough out there. You definitely wouldn't want to go to hell. So, I mean, anybody in his right mind, if he could have been out there with me in the last 2 or 3 weeks in that heat, and I can just see him now and say, oh, it's so hot. I say, man, it's cool here. If you don't make Jesus Lord of your life, down there where you're going, it gets hot down there. You don't want to go there, do you, brother? No, you do not want to go to that place. But anyway, I think about what we have to go through and the suffering we go through, and some of us bear it and some of us don't. But these people here, they had the cloud over them to protect them in the daytime, and then they had the fire at night as a light to lead them. Now, when's the last time you had God strike a torch in the heavens and light it up to illuminate your path so you could see what was going on in your camp? Has any of you ever saw that? I never have. But these people had a cloud in the daytime and a fire by night. That's pretty unusual, isn't it? I mean, should that let us know that he's really there? The fire goes out when the morning comes and the cloud comes over to protect you. And when it gets dark that evening, the cloud moves and the fire rekindles in the heavens. And you see this big fire and it's lighting the ground enough where you can see where you're going to the camp. That's pretty awesome, huh? Well, let's go on and see what happened here in verse 3 and 4. And all of them ate the same miraculous food. And all of them drank of the same miraculous water, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Now, those of us that are Christians, we're supposed to be drinking of that rock. I might say some of you starve to death because that rock is Christ, and that rock and Christ is the Word of God. And some people, if you're out in that heat like I was, did you know that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, out in that heat, sometimes I'd work 30 minutes and then have to rest 30 minutes. I'd have to sit down in the shade and drink an ice cold bottle of water. Under normal conditions, I can go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and I can work all day long till 6 o'clock in the afternoon and never stop for a drink of water. Never stop for a bite of food. I've done that many, many times in my life. But in 113 degree heat, you can't do that. You could, I guess you'd start, but you're going to fall out in a little while. Your body ain't going to last. So you need to drink a lot of water. And of course, by drinking a lot of water, I mean, Bruce and I, we would drink a bucket full of bottles of water. We'd fill an ice chest this big full of ice and water. And by the time the day's over, the ice chest is empty. If we happen to run out of water at 4 o'clock, I said, Bruce, it's time to go to the house. Let's go. Let's quit. You know, we ain't got no more water. Yeah. Now then, if you're not in the drinking, if you're not, you know what we ought to be? I don't know, some of y'all were never raised up on a farm, and you never saw an old thirsty horse that you've rode him, I mean, till he is soaking wet with sweat. I mean, that horse that you've run down goats or cows or whatever, and that guy is soaking the lathers on him. And man, you take that saddle off him, and he runs to that, and take that bridle off him, he runs down to that water trough, and he sticks that head down in there about that far, and I mean, man, he is drinking that water. Just all sides just start sticking out, man. He's drinking. I bet that guy drinks a barrel of water. He's thirsty. Just kind of like I was. That ought to be the way we are as Christians in the Word of God. We ought to be in the Word, sucking that water up so we can know what it says, so we'll know who we are and what we're supposed to do. Because God said in His Word, He didn't tell you in His Word to read it. 2 Timothy 2:15, you know what that says? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15 and see if I'm in the right place. 2 Timothy 2:15, let's look at it. Work hard so God can approve you. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Can you put that in the King James for me? What's the first word there say? That don't mean read, does it? You know, there's a big difference between studying and reading. That's what most people do. They just read it. I mean, if they do anything. I just stand amazed at the people. I mean, yesterday I had a healing school with a pretty good group of people here. And I stand amazed at the people that come up here that don't even after I have taught for 5 hours. And the last words I said is bring you a scripture to stand on, to base your faith on. And one person out of that entire bunch yesterday brought me a scripture. One. The rest of them didn't even have one. Only been listening to it for 5 solid hours. I didn't quit till 5:30. Yes, 5:35 yesterday when I finally quit teaching. And then my last statement was, don't come up here for healing unless you've repented of your sin. You make sure you got right with God at your seat where you are, and you know what your sins are. Get rid of those sins. Whatever it is, if you got unforgiveness towards somebody, you forgive them. If you hadn't been going to church and putting God first, you ask Him to forgive you, and you make Him a promise, say, God, I'll knock down the highway to be in church next Sunday, and every time the door's open, wherever I go, I will be in your house. I said, if you're not willing to diligently seek God, I said, don't even worry about coming up here for healing because you ain't going to get it. And that's why you're sick in the first place, because you've not put Him first. I mean, God's the one who wrote the book, didn't He? Did He not say, you're to have no other gods before Me? Did He say that? Well, then why in the world do we do what we do? Did He tell us as Christians to walk in love with all people at all times? Then if you call yourself a Christian and you've got somebody you can't get along with, then what's wrong with you? Well, but it's their fault. No, it ain't their fault. It's your fault. You have the right to forgive everybody for everything. And if you don't do it, I guarantee you're going to come up sick in the very near future. God's the one who wrote the book. Just like these people. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, you know, I've made these statements lots of times. I said, you know, out of healing school, I'll say, okay, today, now that everybody's in here, I'm going to have somebody go lock all the doors. Now then, before you can get out today, you're going to have to write down your favorite 100 scriptures. And when you get 100 scriptures written down, then you can leave. Do you know if I were to let everybody in the whole place work together as a team, I wonder how long it would be before they could all get 100 scriptures, huh? Oh, it'd take a while, wouldn't it? And then I think about little Caitlin, Kathy's little Caitlin. Every year, she's only 13 years old. And I forget now, but she has just she's memorized 4 or 5 books of the Bible. And last year in school, she memorized, how many was it? 450 verses last year in school. Four, not 45. 13 years old, last year in school, she memorized 450 verses. Sometime I'll start to say something, and when I start to say it, she'll say, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, how would you like to be around a little gal like that all day, every day? She would talk about a little girl keep you straight. Then if you quote it and it ain't right, she said, no, Pastor, you missed one word. Accountability. I mean, that'll keep a pastor on his toes if he's got girls like that in his church. I guarantee you. But you know, it makes me ashamed of myself. That ought to make some of you ashamed of yourself, especially when God said right there, study. And some of you ain't never studied the Bible in your life. Some of you ain't never even read it in your life, much less studied it. And you want to know why you can't get a prayer answered? I got your answer. Study. Seek God. Put Him first. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10. And all them drank the same miraculous water, for they drank from that miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Is that same rock with us today? Yeah, same one. Verse 5 and 6. Yet after all this, I wonder if this is what it would be with us too. After all this, God was not pleased with them, with most of them, and He destroyed them in the wilderness. Oh, God would never do anything like that. You ask the average Christian today, do you think God would destroy me in the wilderness or make me sick? Absolutely not. He's a loving, kind God. He would never do such a thing like that. Does anybody in here know what Hebrews 13:8 says? Who can tell me what Hebrews 13:8 says?
That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
So the same God that killed them in the wilderness back here is the same one we're serving today. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If He killed them in the wilderness back then because He wasn't pleased with them, will He do the same thing today?
Yes, sir.
Guarantee He'll do the same thing today. It's a good thing He's merciful. If He wasn't merciful, do you know how many of us would be here today? With not one single one of us.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, With the Blood of Jesus, Nothing is Impossible, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.